Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That you take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which you are about to enter, so help you God.
I will.
Welcome, Senator.
Vice President Biden swearing in Kirsten Gillibrand to replace Hillary Clinton as junior senator from New York. And we've been talking about Senate politics. We'll hear some more. Gillibrand was sworn in there last Tuesday, so she's finishing up her first week as the new junior senator from New York, and she's wasting no time trying to shore up her constituency. She toured the state this weekend, parts of it anyway, roaming from Buffalo to Rochester to Brooklyn, and she tried to demonstrate that her positions on guns and immigration are perhaps more nuanced than her voting record so far would demonstrate. Joining me now is Jennifer DeLoey, a correspondent for the Hearst newspapers and the Albany Times Union. Jennifer, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
So the big news of the weekend seems to be yesterday's meeting with some elected Latino officials in the Brooklyn offices of El Diario. She has to win them over after co-sponsoring Border Patrol legislation, opposing a path to citizenship for illegals, and voting for making English the official language of the United States. How did it go?
Well, I think she's been making inroads with all of the communities that have been critical of her, whether it's on immigration or on gun control. And, one of her assets in these conversations is that she can say, I was working on behalf of constituents in the 20th district. Now I'm working on behalf of constituents across the state. And her positions, she shows in these meetings a willingness to rethink her positions on these issues now that she's in the Senate. That seems to carry some weight with some of these groups.
Did she stake out any new positions in particular with respect to immigration, or just express a willingness to reconsider them?
Well, since she took office in the Senate last Tuesday, she has been articulating her views on the issue of immigration and gun control, for what it's worth, but on immigration in a more nuanced way and in a more detailed way than she really ever had to in the House. So, it's difficult to say whether some of her explanations are completely new or whether they're a more fulsome, explanation of where she's coming from. But, for instance, she talks about how to deal comprehensively with illegal immigration in this country. And now when she's talking about that issue, she talks about the importance of dealing with the backlog of applications for folks who want to come to this country before dealing with a foreign guest worker program and a path to citizenship. But she talks very comfortably about some kind of path to citizenship as long as it's earned.
Listeners, any reaction to Senator Gillibrand week one? You can call us or post to our website, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. She seems to have an open mind about some of the issues. Do you seem to have an open mind about her? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Jennifer DeLoey from the Albany Times Union, who's been covering the first week of Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, 212-433-9692. And on guns, has that continued to evolve? She did say on the day of her appointment that she would reconsider some of her positions. She did come out for one bill sponsored by Congresswoman McCarthy, who's a big gun control advocate and is threatening to challenge Gillibrand in a primary. Has she continued to stake out more positions that the NRA wouldn't like?
Has continued to show her willingness to embrace bills that perhaps wouldn't be on the top of the NRA's agenda in the Senate. Frankly, gun control votes in the Senate are few and far between, so this may not be an issue she has to deal with too much. But during the first week, she in addition to meeting with gun control supporters in New York State, also had a first very quick conversation with one of her biggest critics on this issue, Representative Carolyn Maloney, McCarthy rather, and she has said that repeated her belief that there are areas where both the NRA and gun control supporters can find common ground, and that is clearly where she wants to be in the next 2 years.
One other thing before we go to our busy phones, and boy, do New Yorkers want to talk about Kirsten Gillibrand. Our lines are full, folks, so don't waste your dialing energy at the moment. But she's got a reputation as a fiscal conservative. When she first was elected to the House in 2006, she came on the show to say she was joining the conservative wing of the House Democratic Caucus, known as the Blue Dog Democrats, largely because she's such a fiscal conservative and believes in pay-as-you-go for any spending bill and a balanced budget and all of that. And she did oppose the bank bailout. She voted against the TARP, which is another issue for some New Yorkers who feel that the TARP was explicitly a New York funding bill because the banks are here, Wall Street is here. Do you think she'll line up with the Republicans and vote against the stimulus bill or demand the same kinds of changes in the stimulus bill that the Republicans are voting? Or does she break with her past ideology on this one and fall in line with other Democrats from the area like Senator Menendez, who we were talking to before?
You know, I think this vote this week, she knows everyone is watching, and I suspect, and my sense is that she will be with Democrats on these votes on the stimulus bill. She's given us some early signals that she is supportive of big parts of the bill. As early as Tuesday, you know, minutes after she was sworn in, she shook Biden's hand. She was telling reporters about how she wants to work to make sure there's good infrastructure spending for New York. She mentions the wanting to make sure that the bill includes spending for rail to connect Manhattan with upstate, with Buffalo. You know, she talks about getting New York the money it needs as part of this bill, and I think those are clear early signs that she wants to support this bill and wants to find some very good reasons to back up her support of it.
Jose in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jose.
Yes, hi. I was just reading today about Joe Rivera from the city council and some of the other members wouldn't stand on the podium with her after their meeting. There's more nuanced opinions in the Hispanic community. I think that there should be at least a discussion about earned citizenship and a path to citizenship as opposed to blanket amnesty.
Jennifer, you want to react to that?
Sure. I mean, the problem for so many politicians in D.C., not just Gillibrand on the issue of immigration, is that it is a huge and controversial issue. There are so many nuances. One person's amnesty is another person's earned citizenship. This is a tricky issue for any politician. Unfortunately, it's an issue that Gillibrand is having to deal with on day one.
Peter in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Brian. I support new Senator Gillibrand. She's had a record of doing what's right for the country and what's doing what's right for our budget and our wallets and everything. I think she should not engage in his pandering or, going along with Carolyn McCarthy and everything. She's has a record of thinking things throughout right and acting upon what's best for the interests of the people.
Hispandering. I hadn't heard that one before. I guess we know what you mean by that. So Peter, let me ask you something. You still there?
I'm still here.
What do you think about this from a New York Times editorial on I think it was Saturday, about Gillibrand's first few days? They wrote, "There's flexibility, and then there's rootlessness. We doubt New Yorkers want to send someone to Washington carrying a bag of random principles, determined mostly by constituents' angry phone calls and her patrons' personal priorities." Do you agree with that?
Well, no, I don't, because when I look especially the immigration issue and I look at Prop 187 and Prop 200 in Arizona, the people, you know, speak, not the politicians. And I think that she has a record of listening to the people upstate and doing what's right. I mean, it failed twice, this whole immigration deal. Gun control is a failed policy. If you look at throughout the states that have carry licenses in New York that does not, and how crime is mm-hmm. different here and over there, I think she's right on the money, and Peter, I support her.
Peter, thank you very much. So there's an interesting indication, mm-hmm. Jennifer, of, I guess, if a senator from New York running for re-election as a Democrat or for election needs a coalition anymore, Peter, I didn't ask him, but I guess, you know, Peter may well vote Republican in general based on the views that he expressed here. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the kind of coalition that David Paterson appointed her to cement when she runs statewide.
Well, there's no question that this woman has some moderate appeal. She was able to build that in when she was representing the 20th district in the House. And you know, Patterson very well may have recognized that while she may not immediately win the hearts and minds of folks on the left side of the spectrum, she certainly can court those folks in the middle who may take a more moderate approach on fiscal issues, or who may see the immigration issue as incredibly nuanced.
Jacob in Washington Heights here on WNYC. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I know that politicians are politicians, and, you know, they have to maneuver in such a way, but since all we have to go on is her past, you know, stance and the one she's changing now, she sounds a lot like Hillary in the negative way. You know, Hillary lost mainly, in my opinion, because she was, you know, going from tactic to tactic, you know, going back to her vote in the Iraq War. She thought it would be the politically smart thing to do.
So, well, and that's really what was at the core of that New York Times editorial quote that I read. I'm not sure the previous caller quite got it, but they wrote, there's flexibility and then there's rootlessness. We doubt New Yorkers want to send someone to Washington carrying a bag of random principles determined mostly by constituents' angry phone calls.
Right, and, you know, I wouldn't use the word ruthless, but yeah.
Rootless.
Oh, all right.
No roots.
but yeah, she just sounds, again, for, you know, we don't know her. I guess we'll have to get to know her.
Right.
But she really does sound literally like Hillary. Like Patterson wanted to find a female and someone who echoed Hillary. I think she echoes her in the negative
way. In that respect, Jacob, thank you very much. And what about that? Mm-hmm. Maybe she's ruthless, too. I don't know, Jennifer. But in running for election next year, I guess she has to walk this line if we just look at it from a political perspective. On the one hand, she wants to broaden her views on some of these things, immigration and guns and spending, so that she can appeal more to downstate Democrats. On the other hand, if she looks like she is rootless and doesn't have any values and is just responding to constituents' angry phone calls, that could blow back on her too.
Oh, certainly. You articulate this balancing act she really has to engage in. It's New Yorkers value lawmakers who have an opinion and who are not afraid to assert it. And if she becomes too reflective of her constituents at the risk of her own ideology, I think that's obviously not going to pay off at the ballot box. You know, it is important to note, it's been a week, and in this week, she has really felt compelled to deal with the criticism from certain groups. We're seeing her meet with immigration advocates. We're seeing her meet with gun control supporters and talk with these groups, because these are folks who are out there who are being, you know, loud and vocal about their concerns. If she weren't meeting with them, I think she'd have a bigger problem on her hands. It's only been a week, and we don't know how she's going to perform over the next 2 years on these issues, but it's clear that for political reasons, she has to meet with these people. She has to entertain their beliefs and their ideas and consider them.
Jennifer DeLoey, a correspondent for Hearst Newspapers and the Albany Times Union, covering the first week of Kirsten Gillibrand's time in the United States Senate. Thanks a lot for filling us in.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, circumcision as a surprisingly effective AIDS prevention tool in a recent experiment. Stay with us.